But God has been so faithful. And you just want to share our reflection this morning as we are coming to the close of June. The title of this reflection is Embracing the Family Identity. Embracing the Family Identity. And the text is John 13, 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We had a glorious month celebrating our pastor's 40th anniversary. And today we celebrated our graduates who received a certificate that recognizes their credentials, their mark of distinction, as it were. Our sermonic focus has been on the family, and just as our graduates are distinguished by their newly endowed credentials, we are reminded of that which distinguishes us as a family of Christ, our family identity. We are embracing our family identity. So, families, if you were to hang out with, me and my brothers, my brother Sammy up here, you'd notice some similarities. We've been told that we have a similar laugh and smile, and and then we were taught, a lot, similar things growing up in the family. But then there are things that couldn't be taught that became evident as a family trait. They just kind of come forward, right? Valley Brook, we may not have fully recognized this, but yesterday, as we rubbed shoulders with the world outside of Valley Brook, there were some family traits that just seeped out of our pores as a church family. It was evident our consideration of each other. As Kevin and Thaddeus throughout the day would pass each other, they just couldn't help messing with each other. Giving a nudge, or they just couldn't help themselves, as any family member would. So it's evident that we have indeed received something that sets us apart from the world. We are recipients of the incomparable, indescribable, uncontainable, unchangeable love of God that has been manifested through Jesus Christ. So to wrap up our discussion of the family, let us take a moment and consider that demonstration of love among us, our family identity. In Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples, who were now endowed with many gifts, he said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." In like manner, we have many, many gifts. Freely we have received, and freely we give it to each other. Paul asked the Corinthian church this question in 1 Corinthians 4, 7. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it? This has become a grounding statement for me. This question is beginning to be the frame around my consideration of others. It provides the groundwork from which my love for others will continue to grow. It's like an undergarment, the beginning layer. I had a mom that would instruct me carefully about, how to dress. And she would say, "Your undergarments are very important. That slip, don't forget that slip." And then she said, "What about when you iron that slip? Look at how different your dress now falls." And as I thought about this, in relation to what I've received, that which we have received is love. The love of Christ, we have received it. It is our fabric under which everything else falls. You know, the church in Corinth, they had demonstration of every spiritual gift. Yet, amidst all of that, Paul reminded them that even with all of the gifts that you have, the demonstration of love for each other superseded all of that. That's what really is being brought forth. And so I just wanted to, if we could take a few minutes and read together, 1 Corinthians 13. And it's just 9 verses, not too many. And we're talking about embracing our family identity. So we can read out loud together, right? So verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Sorry. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. And that's our family identity that we are embracing. You know, as we talk about, you know, family this month, this is what distinguishes us, right? You know, what I'm learning about love, and this is from a journal entry from October for me last year. It says, there is one verse that the Lord is expanding in my life, and it's Ephesians 4:15. And it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. I'm instructed to speak the truth in love, which allows the body to grow in Christ. Throughout most of my adult life, when faced with a difficult conversation, I would quickly surrender or acquiesce, not wanting to force the issue. I was one of those that as soon as it got hot and heavy, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna let it go by. I thought acquiescence was a good and noble thing. Now the Holy Spirit is helping me to see that it is subpar when it comes to demonstrating love through my interactions with others. In 1 Peter, it says, love one another fervently. So fervent love doesn't acquiesce quickly. I have grace. Don't surrender until you have exhausted the avenues and inroads to demonstrating the love of Christ in this situation. don't stop so short is what I've been learning through the Spirit. You know, pursue, you know, this is about, if it's about love, then don't just let it drop. I must courageously face whatever is holding me back from showing this fervent love. And then this prayer, Lord, help me not to bemoan this process. Lord, help me not to become weary in this. Speaking the truth is giving someone a piece of my mind, yet but always within the boundaries of love. So we had opportunities to celebrate the writings of our pastor this month. So I'm going to wrap up this reflection with some words that actually Pastor Dan shared with us during our initial strategic launch 10 years ago. He wrote these words and we had them published in a little bulletin, in a little booklet. And the title of this was Putting on Your Warrior. Biblical love is not a quest for the faint of heart. It is not always soft and mushy. It is often inconvenient. It is not always prompted by good feelings. It means laying down our lives to one another. And making the well-being of others our focus. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. 1 John 3:16. To love this way requires being a warrior, having a fierceness of heart that is fueled by the inner confidence that we ourselves are loved by God and by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It involves going to battle each day against three formidable opponents, the world, the flesh, and the evil one, all of which are relentless in assaults on our spirits and minds. It is easier to tear others down than to build them up. It is easier to launch a destructive word than it is to share a kind one. It is easier to nurture evil thoughts about others than it is to focus on their positive qualities. It is easier to hoard our resources than it is to share them. It is easier to react to a work or deed than it is to thoughtfully respond. It is easier to think me first than it is to consider others more important. It is easier to harbor hurts than it is to forgive. But when our inner warrior chooses to fight, when we battle what is easy in order to liberate what is noble, when we lose our lives instead of trying to save them, the compensation we are promised is better than riches, better than comfort, and better than pleasure. God pours out the treasures from above, treasures of peace, of joy, of fullness, and most of all, the personal knowledge of himself. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, love is our family identity. And as we continue in ministry together, whether it's the outreach ministry, the AV ministry, hospitality, women's ministry, men's, Sunday school, or music ministry, love will continue to be our mark of distinction. Amen. Amen.